an Unspoiled Network podcast.
This is Unspoiled, covering Orphan Black, Season 4, Episode 9, The Mitigation of Competition. In this episode, Evie Cho, what, bitch, what? I can't believe she was that easy to fool.
So easy.
Super easy. I'm a little concerned, honestly, now, because now what she got to lose? She's going to lose her mind. Welcome to Unspoiled. I think I'm a clone now. There's always two of me just hanging around. I think I'm a clone now. Cause every chromosome is a hand-me-down. Yeah.
Yeah. See, Rachel knows how to play the game.
She do. I was a little... All right. Hi, everyone. I'm Natasha.
Hi, Maggie.
Yeah, I was really not sure how this was going to go because of Sarah, like, coming out of the gate being like, yeah, we're going to do this our way, though. And I was like,
right.
Your way, no offense, isn't always the most effective.
It's really not. I think we've learned that over the last few episodes in particular.
Yeah, I feel like...
Considering, you know, everybody died and they lost all their data.
You know?
Yeah.
And, like... I give Sarah credit. I mean, she's done the best with what she has. And granted, she doesn't have a lot. But
Right. Now
she's in cahoots with somebody who has a lot more resources and access. And just try and do something with that is all I'm saying. Right. You know?
Yeah, it's a question of, you know, her always wanting to take a moral high road when she can. And Rachel has no concern for that at all.
Mm-hmm.
But she does not trust Rachel at all, with good reason. But at the same time, you know, if you're going to get in bed with somebody like Rachel, then, you know, use that.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, I mean, that's the only... I guess...
Like, don't do it and then try and boss her around. Come on.
Right. What did you think was going to happen here?
Right. What was the point in the first place?
Yeah, I liked this episode because of that awesome ending, even though it does worry me. And I really am so happy to see Elena again, guys.
Yes. Yes.
And I couldn't have gotten to see her again in a better way.
She has a bow and arrow. Oh
my God. She's a Sasquatch. Well, yeah. Not too far off. So, all right, so let's start at this one. This is so stupid of me. It didn't even occur to me that Sarah was going to go to the island.
Huh, okay.
I thought they were going to harvest her egg and then bring it. How? I don't know. This did not enter my mind.
Mm-hmm.
I mean... I guess I felt like, you know, they lost their data, but they still had their equipment.
Right.
So they would be able to do that and then just, you know, cart it on over.
Mm-hmm.
I think I got that idea in my head because of how long Helena was wandering around with her carton of rotten eggs.
Her carton of rotten eggs. Exactly. They were indeed rotten.
So, yeah, I just didn't really... It didn't enter my mind that she would be there, and it sure didn't enter my head that Fee would go with her.
Mm-hmm.
Because it just hasn't seemed like they've been on those terms in a long time. Yeah. Which is fine. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I'm glad... It seems like in a lot of ways they have managed to overcome what was between them, and that's awesome.
Right, they've pulled things back together quite a bit.
Yeah. But
that's nice.
Yeah, it's just a really, what's the word I'm looking for? It seemed a little sudden was the only thing. The way things were back to normal between her and Fee, and her saying I love you and him being like, I know, you too. And even in typical Fee fashion. And his stepsister, half-sister, kind of leaving the scene. That wasn't her at the end, right?
No. Okay. No, that was Delphine.
Oh, it was?
Yes.
I've watched this episode twice, and I paused on her face, and I didn't recognize her.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
What? I can't believe I didn't recognize her.
Well, her hair's not curly.
Maybe that's it?
I don't know.
I don't know either. How weird.
Yeah.
Huh. Okay.
Yeah, so that's what that is.
That's changing things. Mm-hmm. Might have opened this episode a little differently if I had realized that that was who that was.
I don't know. Evie Cho getting her comeuppance is also a good way to open the episode.
This is true.
I mean, it's the main theme of the whole episode, basically. Takes up most of what's going on.
Okay. So, they are there.
Mm-hmm.
And, I really, like, this episode starts off with this bizarre vision before even Sarah and Fee come in, where, Rachel's laying on her back and she's staring up at the ceiling, seeing something. And it's this dude in the woods that look very much like where Helena is. And I'm sure that's not, like, on purpose.
It's probably just they only had one place to film.
Right. But, she is seeing this guy, like, leading her through this camp area. There's cabins and, paths and all of this. But it's weird because, like, it's cut up. He's standing in one place one second and then another place another second. Then he's standing right in front of her and the light's different. Like, he's indoors another second. And they're all, like, layered on top of each other. It's really weird. And, I forgot that she told Ira what was going on. For some reason, I was, like, still thinking that she kept it secret. But he is asking her all about it, and she's telling him most of what she's seeing, like,
right,
and her theories about it, which kind of surprised me, but I'm also glad, because I get frustrated about lack of communication on shows.
Yes, that has been an ongoing theme in the discussions over the past couple of years, is that people don't actually tell each other things.
Yeah, and, like, this would be
useful.
This would be a reasonable time for her to be suspicious and not tell him. I wouldn't really blame her, because they're supposedly on the same side right now, but I don't buy it. So if she chose not to, I wouldn't be mad. But I feel like opening up to him, it gives the chance for more to happen if he knows about it. So, he's asking her what's going on. And she's telling him that she's just still seeing things. And then he's like, well, you should see this. And there's this interview with Evie and this dude ahead of a press conference that she's going to be giving that evening. Mm-hmm. And she is painting herself as a small town hero, as Ira puts it.
Right.
Because she's going to be bringing jobs to this depressed area where she grew up.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's tale as old as time. I'm just one of you guys, even though I've got $600 shoes on.
Yes.
I'm
a champion of the working class.
Right.
While I murder these deformed babies.
Oh, God. So this is when Fee and Sarah come in, credits, and then we see Helena.
Who looks crazy pants.
Oh my God. She raided the fucking Game of Thrones Northmen set and is just, like, killing it. It's like a weird combo. It's like part Northmen, part, like, Cabela's. Because she's got one of those, like, huge... It looks like she just got a big tarp. What are they called? When it's, like, camouflage tarp. And, like, cut it into a poncho, kind of. But whatever she's doing is working for her, because she nailed the fucking deer with a bow and arrow that she made.
Yes.
Which, you know, people always talk about how they would do in either emergency or wilderness or apocalyptic situations. And I always just kind of don't want to think about it.
Throw me to the zombies. I'm no use to anybody, really.
Like, what good would I be? I can't see once my contacts dry up. That right there. My teeth are bad. They're going to start falling out and rotting inside my head. I I can cook if you bring me all the parts.
Right.
I don't know how to slaughter an animal. I don't know how to do anything. I don't know what garden. I could figure it out, maybe. I'm not good with plants.
No.
Yeah, I don't think I'd be. So, and this is something that, like, you assume that Helena is going to be okay, but she was trained with certain skills that all seemed very, like, violent.
Modern. Yeah. Yeah. Not necessarily, like, survivalist-y.
Yeah.
But
it makes sense.
Yeah. They prepped her for other situations than the ones we've seen her in, apparently.
Yeah. So, she walks by that car, and it's weird to me that they react the way they do, I have to be honest. Like, I understand it being a bit of, like, a bit startling, mm-hmm. but people hunt, right?
Right. But and she, like, does also look crazy pants.
I mean, she does, but, like, I'm not thinking anybody wandering around with a deer over their shoulders is going to look
really pulled together.
Right?
Yeah, that's fair.
But it's, despite me being kind of like, why are you being like this? It is very amusing. I can't mm-hmm. lie, so. And then we cut back to Rachel, who is telling Sarah and Fee about what's going on with Evie's plan. Changing their client's children's DNA without consent.
Ugh.
She wants to get the technology to the public within 3 years. Which, like, we still don't really know why.
What that exactly means. And, yeah. It's still super vague, like, science-y, blah. You know?
Indeed.
Well, you know, but, I mean, honestly, they do that a lot with the science on this show and also sort of the corporate intrigue on this show. I feel like they tend to just be like, oh, well, this is connected to this because this.
Yeah.
And you go, okay.
Yeah. I I'm okay with that to a point.
Because,
like,
it's really more about, the show's really focusing more on the characters for the most part a lot of times, and feels like it can kind of wiggle around the details of other parts of the show, mm-hmm. I feel like. I don't know if that's necessarily the right decision on their part, if they're correct in thinking that's the way they should have pursued things on this show, because
mm-hmm.
It can get kind of annoying. I mean, it was definitely a thing for a while with all the different corporate entities. Like, we've had trouble keeping track of who's connected to, like, what's the deal with Topside versus Neolution versus
Dyad.
Dyad, you know, all that stuff. It's all been kind of convoluted in a lot of ways to make sure that we can follow along with how these things are and are not connected.
Right.
And I feel like they do that with the science, too, that they just hand wave a lot of stuff and you're expected to just go, okay.
Yeah, I said, there's plenty of times where I'm okay with that on a lot of different shows, but it does feel like they rely on that so much that it's getting to a point where the only thing that I can say that I have a problem with here is the without consent is wrong. And right. That flat out, sure.
Right, because, like, you don't know what the science is, exactly. So it's impossible to be like, well, that's inherently a bad thing, other than just the without consent is clearly a bad thing.
Yes. So,
we'll just lean on that part. Just go with without consent and focus on that and say, okay, sure.
I just wish that I knew what it was, because I feel like that would, it, like, create more of a sense of urgency, or at least, right. Like, give me a clue as to what, because they're framing a lot of this as if it's just Evie's idea.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're making it seem almost like it's personal. And it can't just be person. She's not the only person in charge of this industry.
There's a whole board behind it, right? You know?
So they have to have some kind of specific agenda that everybody agrees upon. And Evie getting into power in some way is a whole separate, very specific thing. And I don't know what their agenda could be separate from her. And I'd like to have at least a vague notion, but, you know, I guess maybe I'll get it, maybe I won't. I don't know. So anyway, yes, they tell Fee and and Sarah that Kendra and Tabitha, these two pregnant women, one of them actually had just given birth, so she had a newborn, escaped from the labs. Mm-hmm. So that thing that we saw with the girl giving birth,
mm-hmm.
it was like people being held prisoner,
right.
essentially.
Basically, yeah.
And later on, Sarah's talking to Art about it, and she says they probably offered her money, and she figured, how bad can it be?
Right.
And that is a very old story.
Yes, it is.
People selling themselves to science because they are fucking poor.
Mm-hmm.
And science being like, you're poor, I can do whatever.
Whatever we want. Yep. Yes.
Or not even selling themselves, just getting experimented on without their knowledge at all. That's the other fun one. And maybe that's all this is. Maybe the agenda is just to experiment on a huge swath of the population.
Mm-hmm.
And if that were the case, it would make a ton of sense. You're not going to get a bigger pool than to just go public with something. And you could choose exactly the kinds of people that you wanted to experiment on and make it seem like, oh, well, you aren't approved for the treatment for whatever reason.
Sure.
Yeah, maybe that's all it is. But in either case, these two women
managed to get out.
Yeah. And Tabitha, they find killed in a shelter. She committed suicide.
Ah, sure.
Mm-hmm. And these fucking ghouls, the dude and the woman, paramedics,
yeah,
are the creepiest.
They really are.
Why are they so creepy? I think it's partially that they hardly ever speak.
Yeah.
And we've heard them, so it's not like they never speak, like,
oh, no, they primos, talk, and she has, you know? I think she has, like, a South African accent or something, doesn't she?
They both, because they were talking a couple episodes ago, and I was just like, what the fuck is that? I couldn't figure it out.
Yeah.
But yeah, they both do, I think. And, you know, they are chasing down, and what's-his-face gets away, because they both get caught. I'm getting ahead of myself here.
Yeah.
But anyway, so they're getting assigned to track these two women down. And Evie is really irritated that this hasn't been taken care of already. And she mm-hmm. wants to know what the fuck is going on with Duco. And this guy's just like, why don't you focus on what you're doing? And I'm like, yeah, that's what you say when you don't know what the fuck to say to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Which she knows. And I really wonder how much do they know? Do they just figure he's dead? They must figure he's dead, right?
They've got to figure he's dead.
Yeah.
Like, either dead or running. And he doesn't seem like the type to run, because he didn't really seem that morally upset about what they were having him do, honestly.
Yeah, he really didn't. He tried to act like it was such a struggle for him, but I didn't buy it. So yeah, that's what's going on, starting things off over there. Starting things off with the Hendrixes.
Mm.
This is the butt grab that I That's saw the at the grab. End of the last episode that I thought was the ending of that episode.
The spoiled butt grab.
Oh, terrible.
Of all the things you could be spoiled for, it's such a shame.
And, oh my god, I love the, like, I'll make you see God. Here, hold my dirty undies. Oh man, is that marriage or what? There it is.
It's all romance all the time.
But he goes home and, you know, they've charged him. Like, it's not like they've dropped the charges or anything.
Right.
They don't have the ability to do that, but, What's-Her-Face has managed to get him out on bail. And they are keeping an eye on him, which is not usual. And she figures that, well, it's gotta be Duco's got a hard on for you. And Allison just blurts out, well, it's not him. Right?
Allison's never been as discreet as she could.
Yeah, and it's like, it's the kind of thing where I thought for a second that it seemed a little out of character for her to be so, but she,
I think they also keep kind of forgetting that that the sister doesn't know anything.
I think that's really more what it is that she's so close with Fee that they're letting their guard down, thinking that she's, like, okay, but she's only okay in a way.
Right.
And then she says another thing that kind of gives something else away, and just, like, what is his sister's name again?
Oh, crud.
I keep wanting to say, like, Clarabelle. I don't know where I'm getting that.
Like Clarabelle the cow from the old Disney cartoons, or from Howdy Doody?
Which one is Clarabelle? I do not know that one.
Clarabelle the cow, I think, is from the old Disney cartoons. What's Felix's sister's name? I'm looking it up.
Okay. But yeah, her eyebrows really go up here. Like, she's Adele. Shrewd. Adele, thank Adele. You. I think that's where I was getting the L at the end, so I was like, Clarabelle. But yeah, she's very shrewd. Like, she can instantly tell something is up. They all hide it really poorly. There's a long pause.
They're real bad at this.
I mean, it's like they're all each waiting for somebody else to come up with something, and it takes way too long for them all to realize nobody's got anything to say. But yeah, this whole moment here, it's tough. And like, again, with the communication, if Allison had been more involved with what was going on with Sarah, later on, when the cops miraculously disappear and there's an ambulance outside, maybe she would be a little bit more careful.
No, yeah.
But nobody's talking to each other, so she's just like, oh, goody, they're gone. Which, like, why would you ever think that?
Like, how much did, when they said, oh, they're gone, now there's just an ambulance, did you just groan?
Right.
Like, I was like, oh, Allison. No, 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 no.
Yeah, it felt like that did feel a little out of character with just being like, you know that cops, like, they do shifts. They're never just going to be like, no, I guess nothing's happening, so we're just going to go. Like, that's not how that ever works. What? So it frustrated me a little bit that they both were just prepared to bop on down the stairs.
Let's go to Niagara.
You know? But whatever. All right, so I'm going to back it up again.
Mm-hmm.
And let's talk about Cosima.
Okay.
She's doing the fertilization of the egg. And under the strict supervision of Professor Susan Duncan. She's not feeling great. Cosima is saying that the trip, like, just tired her out. But it seems pretty clear, like, things aren't going great for her.
She's not feeling tip-top.
Yeah. And Susan gives her the book on the science of Neolution. And I really enjoy that later on she's talking to her and says something about how, well, you know, he was super racist and thought that poverty was like a genetic default.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yeah, thank you, show, for like kind of addressing that. Because I feel like they just keep dancing around it.
Yeah, like, eugenics is a bad thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm really giving them too much credit because they don't really address it.
No.
They have her say it, and then Susan's just like, well, you know the era. And I'm like, yeah, but, like, what about you, though? And Cosima does ask her that, but Susan doesn't give her an answer. And, like you said in a few episodes ago, I mean, Delphine straight up said eugenics is the future.
Yep.
She just said it.
Yep.
So, you know.
Your girlfriend's kind of racist?
Racist, you know? Ableist.
Yep, all like, that good stuff.
How many isms can we do? But yeah, I wish that this was, and maybe it will, you know, as things get on a little bit more, because it seems like whatever it is that Rachel is seeing is somehow connected with the, like, fundamentalists, I feel like, of this belief system. And That's the best word I can come up with, like belief system, to describe it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just, I want to say religion, in a way, cult.
It's more, yeah, because it's more than a philosophy, I would say.
Yeah. Cult of thought. But I feel like the thing with the swan continually appear, like, or maybe it's the opposite. Like, you see the swan in the illustration at the beginning of the book, and Rachel sees the swan several times, but then at the end, the swan's head is ripped off.
Mm-hmm.
Its whole neck is ripped out.
Yeah.
Which could be, like, a symbolism of, like, departing from that belief system. Kind of a breaking of faith sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I don't know. I don't know what the deal is with that swan.
Yeah. The swan's just, real weird.
It's distracting me.
Yeah. I also don't like swans because I think they're just fancy geese and I hate geese.
Swans are dickholes.
Yeah. So I'm like, rip that swan up. I don't give a fuck.
Their necks are long for grabbing.
Yeah. Fuck swans.
Sorry. Yeah. Hard agree.
My periodic rant against waterfowl. Fucking hate those things.
I agree, though. Swans, like, I find it so frustrating how much they're, like, treated as if they're these elegant, graceful creatures. Have you ever seen a swan do literally anything but just paddle along? They're the dumbest fucking things. They look like duck boats on land look. Where they're just like, I don't know. They should not be a symbol of grace. Pick something that flies.
Yeah.
Graceful as a swan. Get out of here. So that's what's going on with her. She has a little conversation with Charlotte also, who I still don't like. Who
continues to be creepy.
Fucking creepy. You're the sick one. Yeah, you know what, bitch?
So are you.
So are you, you dumbass. Get out. Hate her. So Helena has her clone phone, which I didn't know.
Yeah.
She says that she thinks the ringer is broken, which is obviously bullshit. But she's got this whole fucking, like, wigwam thing set up. It's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, again.
She's got skills.
This shit is decorated with horns. She's got, like, what I think is some crochet happening.
She's made herself very much at home.
It's pretty adorable in a weird way. I don't know how she's doing this while fucking pregnant. She's just a beast. That's all there is to it.
Yeah.
I could
barely walk at this point in my pregnancy. Oh my God.
And she's got twins. It's going to get so much worse. I wonder if the show's going to do that justice, because a good friend of mine that I used to work with was pregnant with twins. And it looked like a straight-up optical illusion.
Yeah.
Like, you couldn't believe what you were seeing. When she stood to the side, you were just like, that's not humanly possible. I'm sorry. It looked like she had her knees gathered up under her shirt, and she was sticking her feet out kind of thing. Like, it's beyond belief. She was on bed rest for the last, like, 3 months of her pregnancy. Can you imagine? 3 months?
No, I can't imagine.
Listen, I love sitting on my ass.
But no.
That's just too much.
Yeah, that's too much ass sitting.
Yeah, and I would imagine, not having ever been pregnant to that degree, how uncomfortable.
It's not comfortable.
Right?
It's really not comfortable being in bed when you're pregnant at that stage. It really is not. You cannot get comfortable in bed when you're pregnant.
Oh, that sucks.
It's terrible. You have to have, like, 12 different pillows supporting you in, like, every possible direction. It's a nightmare.
They should make something, like...
They do. They make, like, pregnancy pillows called, like, woobies or something. I don't remember. I had one. It wasn't that helpful. Like, you have to sort of, like, tuck it under your belly and then between your legs. And it's supposed to support your weight, and you're only supposed to sleep on one side because it's better for your circulation to the baby. And, yeah, I had all that shit. It still was not fun.
I'm looking up Woobie's pregnancy pillow.
No, I don't remember what it's called. A snoogle?
Snoogle.
It might be called a Snoogle.
These are all great.
Just look up pregnancy pillow and it'll come up with something.
Oh, get at it. No, I found it. And yeah, that's, I can tell just by looking at it, that's not even enough.
Mm-mm.
You're going to need like an apparatus or something. Mm-hmm. You need three of those, like propped in a certain way.
In like
way.
A circle all around you. So yeah. In every direction you go. Yeah. So what are they called? I've totally forgotten what
they're
called.
You were right, Snoogle.
Is it called a Snoogle?
Mm-hmm.
What's the matter with me that I even remember that?
Wooby. No.
No?
Wooby I typed in. I got a bunch of French stuff. I don't know what that's on.
I don't know.
But yeah, Snoogle is correct.
Snoogle. Good job, me. Second guess.
So, yeah, that's... Helena is notified via Sarah's incredible lack of poker face... poker voice? That shit is not all right.
Right.
And Sarah tries to, like, get her to promise. Well, she doesn't even say, like, don't come here. She just says, take care of those babies.
Right.
And she doesn't not do that. So I guess she keeps her promise?
Yeah, her version of taking care of those babies might be slightly different from other people's concept of what that means.
If by taking care of these babies, you mean eat lots of deer meat. Lots of fresh, bloody venison.
Mm-hmm.
Those babies have a lot of iron.
Yes. Which is good when you're pregnant. You need lots of iron.
It's true. You ever see Rosemary's Baby?
I have not, and I don't want to, and I've seen enough parts of it that I'm really good with that decision.
It's really freaky, but there's one moment that's just like a regular like pregnancy moment where she's like about to fry up some liver or something, or she pulls it out of a chicken that she's about to cook, and she's craving, and she just starts to eat it raw, like over the sink.
Yeah.
And,
That's not a demonic thing. I think that's just real.
Yeah, like that's cause
that
I
could actually happen.
There was something a friend of or somewhere I was listening to a podcast. I don't remember what it was, but somebody was saying that they craved clay.
Oh yeah, it's called pica. That's a thing.
Is it?
We actually had my daughter tested for pica when she was a toddler because she ate all sorts of stuff she wasn't supposed to, and it has to do with being anemic, I think. But she used to eat through board books.
Oh,
and she
shit.
Ate through a window shade once. And so we were very much like, we should make sure that she's got enough iron in her blood.
Interesting.
And we were like, yeah, it was just a sensory seeking thing. It wasn't, it had nothing to do with actual like iron deficiency. But that's a thing.
Yeah.
And it can happen in pregnant women.
Yeah. She said that once she had her baby, it was gone.
Yep.
Just crazy, like the way bodies change is nuts.
French fries.
That's just being a person,
right? No, but it was like I ate them all the time when I was pregnant with my daughter, and then after I'd given birth, and I went back to the mall where I worked, I was like, "Oh, I'll go get some fries," and I ate like one of them. I was like, "This is terrible.
Mm.
What was I doing?" Like this entire time, I was like, "These are the most delicious things on earth." That's all I wanted. My first pregnancy was French fries. And fresh tomatoes and fresh scrambled eggs. Like, I craved those things. Mm-hmm. Like, I wanted, like, fresh grown tomatoes and, like, eggs from the local farm. Like, I needed everything fresh, 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 and super healthy. And then with my son, it was just chicken fingers. So he did not care, even then. He was like, garbage in, please.
What a weird... Like, my friend went through chemo, and she used to hate bacon. And now it's, like, one of her favorite things.
The body is bizarre. I think that's basically what it boils down to.
I just really wonder if there is some sort of reason, like, you know, physiological need, and we just don't understand or know it. And right. I wish we did, because it's just such a weird change that seems to be completely arbitrary, because it was bacon, and the other thing was fucking Cinnabon. She used to hate Cinnabon. Like, the smell of Cinnabon would make her sick. And now she just can't, like, she loves Cinnabon so fucking much. And which I just, sincere apologies, because liking That's... Cinnabon is not an easy way to live. As
no.
somebody who likes it, I do, mm-hmm. and it's I terrible. I hate myself for it, so.
Yeah. You're 100% correct. They're disgusting, but so delicious.
So delicious.
So delicious.
Anyway,
We were talking about Helena.
Yeah, so she's deciding to come back. Why don't we just talk about that moment?
Hello, sister.
This fucking girl comes in just as Ponytail Asshole is about to put a bot into Allison's mouth, a bot that he's like, yeah, this is real glitchy, so who the fuck knows what's gonna happen? And she comes in with her bow drawn, and he puts his hands up like, I'm not gonna... But then he makes a move, like he's gonna do it anyway, really quick.
What a dumb dummy. She
gets him through the throat like it's nothing. Yeah. It's amazing.
Yeah.
I think... You want to know the truth here? I think if I were him, with the skills that he has and the mission that he has, I would have done that same thing he did, because I wouldn't think anybody would be accurate with that crazy bow. I wouldn't think that was even a possibility that they'd even hit me, never mind get me in the throat where they aimed for. I wouldn't trust that bow at all.
But he doesn't know Helena.
He sure don't. He fucked with the wrong one.
Yep.
And the blood on Allison's face, like, she looks so startled.
Oh, no.
Helena just stays murdering people for the Hendrixes.
Yep.
Oh, my God. They don't deserve her.
No. Well, Donnie does.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
I love Donnie so much.
I really hope Allison doesn't cop an attitude over this. Because you know she's the type, like... Oh, there's blood everywhere. Helena, what are you doing? You shouldn't even be back here. Who was that? Like, girl, she saved your life. Oh, but she does it right as, because Allison's been struggling with her faith.
Mm-hmm.
And she can't pray. She has sex with Donnie in this awful who runs this cell block scene that's awful. I don't know how they get through these scenes. They must have like 25 takes where they just burst out laughing.
I get the sense that the two of them, those two actors, really enjoy each other's company. Which must make it so much more fun.
Oh God. I'm just cringing so bad right now. If you could see my face, it's like it's caving in on itself. But yeah, right after the sex, she tries to pray and she can't like do it.
Mm-hmm.
And when this guy's about to do this thing to her face, then she's like, you know, Lord, forgive me for some, I'm a sinner, and it's all flowing for her again.
Yep.
And then who should come in to save her ass but Helena, who's got angel wings carved into her back with a bow in her hand, like she's some kind of like cartoon angel.
Yeah.
Oh, that's pretty good. So yeah, that's the end of their deal for now, right?
Mm-hmm. I think that's where that ends. Hendrix's, yeah.
All right. So going back to Sarah, after she talks to Helena, she sees Trina.
Right.
Poor Trina. Girl.
Trina has no idea what's up.
She just needs to leave town.
To take a break.
She needs to get the fuck out. Everything that she's seen and dealt with, the fact that she doesn't know that Beth is dead still.
Yeah, that messed me up because I kind of forgot.
Yeah. And I appreciate
it. It's always weird when Sarah has to go back into Beth mode, like, on the spur of the moment. That must be really disorienting and weird for her at this point.
Yeah, when she's like, oh, I'm undercover, plain clothes, I was like, oh, good call. Because I was just like, what are you going to say?
Yeah.
But yeah, Trina tells her about the place that the other woman who is no longer here, the one with the baby, Kendra?
Yes.
I think? Yes. Where she probably went. But she had also told the detective that. And as we see, the detective is dirty. What the fuck, guys? Yeah. How many of them are like this? What
Too
the fuck?
Many. It starts to get kind of lazy at a certain point.
Right?
You know?
Like,
just saying.
And I mean, I'm not even like averse to more than one cop being dirty.
Right.
But there's a difference between being dirty and being call Evie on a cell phone. kind right. of dirty.
Right.
Which is a whole other level of access and, like, closeness mm-hmm. that feels like they should be a few steps removed and not really know who they're working for kind of thing.
Well, especially since they had Duco, and Duco had that level of relationship, and it's like, as soon as Duco is gone, they've already got somebody mm-hmm. else who can do the exact same sort of thing.
Yeah, know? Exactly.
And that seems, I mean, good for them. That was smart to have a backup, but it just seems like...
But then why kill Duco at all?
Yeah. Like, yeah.
Just for that moment for Mrs. S? Like, that's yeah. not... I don't know. All right. So, yeah. That dude is dirty. So, he winds up telling Evie, who is going to send her ghouls to that location, because it's really... There's just, like, clues as to where they don't have, like, an exact address, but it's pretty easy to figure out once they look into some things right. exactly where it is.
Right.
Yeah,
if Art's able to figure it out, it's, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
It doesn't take them very long.
So, on the way there, Sarah gets a call from Rachel, who's trying to get them to listen to their advice, and she's not interested, which I sympathize with, because why would you be? And I think she hangs up on her here, and at this point Ira's like, you two really don't like each other. And Rachel's like, she put a pencil in my brain, and I'm like, yeah, because you were about to steal one of her fucking ovaries, and right. you crushed her daughter's bone marrow.
Yeah.
You cunt.
Yeah.
But sure, just leave it at the show she attacked me.
Yeah. That's not really the whole bitch. Story.
Ugh, I hate her. Yep. So.
Right there with you. I mean, she pulls this off in the end. That doesn't make me hate her any less.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. So, all right. Here's the scene that I really enjoy, which is the one with Adele and Fee.
Right.
First of all. You just mixed mood stabilizers with gin. That's brunch.
I love her accent.
I just... They cast her so well.
Yeah,
like, does
great.
She not just look like the woman who lives like this?
Mm-hmm.
1,000%.
Yeah.
And it's really hard to put your finger on exactly what that look is.
Mm-hmm.
But... She has
She's it.
And definitely makes me want gin also.
See, I never want gin, so.
Oh, I love gin.
You can have all the gin.
Owen doesn't like it either.
I will leave you all the gin.
Most people, enjoy. Honestly, don't like. Like, it tastes like the water from a Christmas tree stand, but I
love it. I will take all the tequila.
Oh, see, you can have that, because tequila makes me literally gag when I swallow it.
Perfect.
I can't do it. So yeah, she's mid-sip on this fucking martini when who should walk in but fucking Helena, pregnant as shit with her,
in her crazy outfit
with a whole fucking fox on her head. And Adele is like, oh, really?
Uh-huh.
And Fee.
So it's triplets now, huh?
From the same stomach? Countries in there? Different countries? Oh, this is so great.
It really
and
is.
She walks up and closes the door and is like, so Helena, where'd you get that hat? Have you named it yet? And Helena is not appreciating this line of conversation. And she keeps kind of pushing it. She being Adele at this point. And... finally, she says something like, this is bullshit, and Adele, and I'm confusing when I keep saying she, Adele says this is bullshit, and Helena says, maybe bullshit is where you belong, which isn't
doesn't really make sense.
I don't even know what...
But it's pretty perfect, Helena.
And then Adele says, did you just step to me, little triplet? And also she blurts out about how Donnie's been in jail, and Helena's like, oh, because of Pouchy? So, like, God, everybody's just saying shit. I just love this scene so much. I really do.
Yeah, and Adele's like, she knows about Pouchy. Yeah, it's really, it's great.
These are the moments that the show does really well.
Mm-hmm. The absolute chaos.
Yeah, exactly. Tangential, of course, to drugs and missing cops, you have a loud voice. Oh my God. They just, it's really good. I wonder what it's like as an actor to do like multiple scenes with different versions of Tatiana Maslany's acting.
Right.
Do they feel like they're acting with a totally different person?
I don't know.
Like,
the whole experience seems like it would be so surreal.
Right. Yeah, like, and
because it doesn't feel like the same person. I think of all of these characters as such completely different people that I forget half the time, you know?
Totally. And, like, I wonder, because, you know, there's a lot of different methods that people have. And I feel like if I were Tatiana and I was trying to do all these roles, I wouldn't want to, like, chat off set with somebody and be myself in my downtime and then transform as I step onto the set with the same person that I was chatting with. I feel like that would be one thing with people that you're working with all the time, but somebody like Adele, who's new and isn't likely to be around that long, I feel like I would want to keep up a really strict boundary so that it did seem like I was a different person to them.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I just wonder how she, like, does she find that even necessary, or, you know, I'm very curious about all that.
Yeah, I've never really read any interviews with her or seen any interviews with her or, you know, sort of seen what her method is. I just have just enjoyed the acting without following the press about it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm curious if she has talked about it. I could always Google it and try and come back to you with some info so that you don't get spoiled on anything.
Yeah, because I'd be really interested. Because the one that I always think of is in Home Alone. Joe Pesci never talked to
Macaulay
Culkin because he wanted him to be afraid of him. So he, like, never spoke to him and was kind of rude when they weren't on set together, so that the kid had a genuine sense of, like, nervousness and fear when he was around on camera.
Which seems unnecessary because it's Joe Pesci, and wouldn't you already feel sort of, well, I mean, maybe you wouldn't because you wouldn't know, you know, that he's in other scary movies.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what that kid would know at that age. I think that Joe Pesci probably felt like this is a child actor who can't be trusted to manufacture fear well.
Right.
So I need to do something to ensure. Which makes sense. I mean, apparently it worked because I love Home Alone because it's great.
Yeah. So there you go.
But yeah, so this moment.
QED.
What's this mean?
What? QED?
Yeah.
It basically means the equation has been solved.
Oh.
So it stands for Latin, like quo erum something or other with a D.
Okay.
Yeah. So, saying, it must have worked because I love Home Alone. QED.
Gotcha.
Therefore, yeah.
I like it. I'm going to start using it, even though I'm woefully underqualified to be saying anything math-related. So, this ends with Fee hustling Helena out, being like, this is just really not a good time, and her kind of apologizing and making sure that he's okay. And then him talking to Adele.
And her leaving.
Yeah, it's like, I don't blame him for not wanting to get her involved. Mm-hmm. I think it's smart. I honestly think he made the right call. But Adele.
Yeah, it's a bummer.
I want her around longer. She's clearly smart. And I think she could be useful.
Mm-hmm. Well, she's a mess, but she's smart.
Yeah. But also, having another target and a way to get to Sarah/Fee, we don't need that.
No.
So
boo.
But when she's like, genetics doesn't really make a family, does it? I'll leave you to your real family. I was just like, ouch.
Mm-hmm.
And his acting here is really good.
Yeah.
Like, he really looks like he's about to cry.
I think the two of them are really good together.
I think,
like you said, she was just really, really well cast.
Mm-hmm.
She definitely looks like she could be his sister physically. Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
And they play off each other really well. Better than I expected them to at the beginning when she was first introduced.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was pleasantly surprised.
They do really look a lot alike. Mm-hmm. It's kind of crazy. He has that long sort of English... He reminds me of Jarvis from Agent...
Carter.
Thank you. I was about to say Smith. I'm like, ooh, no, not that one.
That's a different agent.
That actor who plays Jarvis was just in an episode of Poirot that we watched last night, and he was a bounder. A womanizing, drinking, gambling. Yes. And he was very good in that role, and he is yummy, and I just love him. Fee is almost as yummy. I think he's just shy of what, like, gets me, because he doesn't quite have that baby face. He's a little too chiseled.
Mm-hmm.
But he's a cute boy.
He is.
So, she leaves, and that's sad, and I feel bad for Fee, because he tried to have a thing, and he can't have anything.
No, he's not allowed. Because
this shit keeps getting in the way and ruining it all.
Yep.
I hate it.
Yeah.
So, let's go to Kendra. This poor fucking woman.
I know.
Is holed up in this house, pretty sure that the enemy has found her. And she's got a white baby,
mm-hmm.
which it didn't even, like, occur to me, but of course.
Yeah. They're baby factories.
Mm-hmm. And this woman plays, like, harried really well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just constant feeling of, like, deer in headlights sort of thing.
Yeah.
And she has huge eyes, too, which I think helps with the panic look.
Yes.
And she shows them the video that we saw Evie looking at earlier, which is of the nurse euthanizing the deformed baby.
Right.
I was going to say cleft palate, but there's, like, so much more going on than cleft palate.
Yeah.
And, you know, explains that this is their security, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And that's horrifying enough. And they're in the middle of, like, trying to figure out what they're going to do here. And she doesn't want to come with them. And so Rachel decides that she's going to get involved because she doesn't like the way that Sarah is running things.
Mm-hmm.
Which, to be honest, Sarah isn't being very receptive to suggestion.
No.
I understand Sarah not wanting to fucking blackmail a woman. Don't get me wrong. This woman's been through a lot of shit.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes you've got to do something shady to make the right thing happen.
Yeah. In this sort of, you know, the stakes are so high in this sort of circumstance. And, you know, it's all going to turn out well in the end. So it's fine.
Right.
Good job, Rachel. You kind of actually did something right.
That's true. Yeah. So she calls up Ira, who has followed them. And is like, so contingency plan,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, of course they have one.
Of course.
Foolish of me. Once you see him there, I'm like, oh, of course. But I didn't even, like, think about it. You know, her sending him on. But yeah, so she doesn't want to go with them. First of all, she asks about protective custody. And Art says that he doesn't even think they can trust the other police. And that raised a question for me. Does he realize that other guy isn't on it? Like, did he get that sense there, do you think? Or, because...
I didn't get that sense, but I think Art's just kind of freaked out by everybody right now.
Yeah, that's fair.
You know,
because when the guy is like, hey, have you seen Duco? And he sort of stops and, like, looks up, like, you know, I couldn't tell if that was just a reaction to being asked about him or if it was, why the fuck are you asking me about this guy right now? Like,
right.
You know, but yeah. And this woman Kendra has another kid. She has two other kids, right? I think.
At least, yeah, at least one, but I can't remember. But yeah, that seems...
So she has more to worry about even than just this baby right here. Yeah, they've got a lot to, like, hold over her head.
Yep.
So these fucking ghouls, as I keep calling them, and that's what I will call them forever, break in and are running around trying to get behind her. She goes to quiet the baby, which I appreciated Art being like, no, just let her go, because Sarah tries to stop her.
Like, well, yeah.
And she's like, no, she'll keep the baby quiet. Like, let her do the thing that she's like, here to do. Doing. Yeah. And as she's hiding out in the bedroom, Rachel calls her. And she's like,
hey. So I know where your kid is. What's up?
Here's the exact address. Do as I say and he won't be hurt. This really, like, as you say, Rachel did the right thing here. I agree. But it does make me worry that this has damaged things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, going with that approach closes other doors later.
Yeah.
And sometimes you don't have a choice, and it's either that door or no door.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just... you know, wondering how they can possibly work this out. Well, we'll see. I'm getting ahead of myself here.
Right.
So Art gets the drop on these two, but the ghoul that's with the woman who we know
is not the usual ghoul, because the usual ghoul is off in the ambulance at the Hendrix's house.
Yeah.
Yeah. But now we don't have to worry about him.
So yeah. Oh, thank God. I hate him so much.
He's so bad.
Ugh. And Sarah looks outside and she sees fucking Kendra getting into a car with Ira and speeding off. And understandably assumes that she has been fucked over by Rachel.
Right.
Which I would 1,000% think also.
Yeah.
I thought it when I was watching this. I was just like, oh totally. Motherfucker. Like, yeah.
Because that's what Rachel always does, is she always has, it's not a contingency plan, it's the plan that she's always secretly had in the first place.
Yep.
And usually it's not meant to be helpful or cooperative at all.
Yep.
This time it kind of is.
Yeah. It's like one of the few times that what she wants and what they want actually do really line up with each other.
Mm-hmm.
How about that?
It's a nice
treat. Doesn't just say that, but it does. So yeah, that's basically like the end of from here. Sarah meets up with Ira and screams at him that he has fucked up bad. And
Ira's like, but wait.
And he pulls up this video, and it's a live feed of fucking Evie just blurting out all her dumbass secrets.
Mm-hmm.
And then they do a Sherlock where it's the middle of a press conference and all of the reporters' phones start to blow up.
Yeah.
With that video. Beauty of the modern age. That shit is instantaneous.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of crazy. Can you imagine working that press conference and having that happen?
God.
Yeah.
Evie actually has to be, like, escorted off stage.
Yeah.
Because there's just... I mean, it's really bad for her.
Oh, yeah. That's really bad.
I love Rachel standing in the background, just solid eye contact.
Mm-hmm.
She's just being like, yeah, bitch, I did that shit. I think that's something that, like, claiming your duplicity is something that I think I'd have a hard time with. Like, admitting, oh, no, yeah, I completely fucked you over. That's... 100% what happened. What?
Whereas Rachel revels in it.
She, like, that, it's a game. It's like, you know, she just won a point. Yep. She won 10 points. She crushed you. She took your queen. She took their queen!
She did.
Oh, shit. We have video of you admitting to euthanizing babies. Like, it doesn't get worse than that.
Yes.
And I'm not even gonna lie. Considering the birth defects that baby was born with, it probably was a mercy.
It probably wasn't going to live, honestly.
Yeah, I don't think it would. It didn't seem like the nurses thought. It's not as if they were like, because the concern that Kendra has is her baby was born blind.
Mm-hmm.
And she thinks that they would have killed the baby.
Well, but now, they definitely weren't going to give the baby to the parents who had paid for a baby.
Right.
So what do they do with that baby then?
That's true. That didn't occur to me because it's a product.
Right.
So if she's right, then
so they've just got extra supply and nowhere to put it.
True, true.
And they're not just going to give it to Kendra and let her wander off with it.
Ugh. That baby's eyes were creepy, though.
They were.
They did some CGI bluish. It didn't look like the cataract look. It looked like they were glowing a little.
They looked like White Walkers.
Ooh. Yeah, that is what it looked like. So, okay. Something I kind of, like, glossed over here. There's a moment where Charlotte and Cosima are talking about the kind of stone that the island is made out of.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that Rachel says to Ira about the weird vision she's having is, I think the island is trying to tell me something.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking straight at this moment where Cosima turns. I don't recognize her. I'm staring straight at her and I don't believe you. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that you're telling me the truth. But without her makeup, she looks 10 years older.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I thought she was either Adele or somebody that I hadn't met yet. And I was pretty sure she wasn't Adele, because Adele has a very distinctive face.
Right.
But she was, like, the only blonde that I could think of. I just can't believe she looks right here. What?
But you can see that it's her now, right?
No, I'm looking straight at her, and I'm telling you, it does not look like her to me at all.
All right.
And I think, I'm not saying that I think you're lying to me. I believe you. But it's shocking to me how different she looks right here. I would never, ever have realized that's who it was. Maybe I just haven't seen her in profile very much in the show, because
she's in a weird shadow. And,
yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so I'm wondering, like, the way that Rachel says that the island's trying to show me something is, like, there's, like, ghosts or something there. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
She's acting like there's something supernatural happening. And maybe there is supposed to be? I don't know what to make of it. The fact that they mentioned the kind of stone that the island's made of and the way that Cosima reacted when Charlotte pointed that out makes me think that there's something really special about that. Like, it's super magnetic or, you know, does something that conducts electricity or brain waves or fuck knows what in a certain way that's really important. But, you know, I don't know anything about anything, so how would I know anything?
Yeah, how would you know anything if you don't know anything about anything?
See? It's a valid question.
That does make sense.
QED. I would.
QED. You would not.
Bringing it back. So, yeah, that's the end of the episode. Is not Delphine turning to the camera and looking very unimpressed to have been touched. She doesn't seem to appreciate it.
No, I guess not.
So that is that. There's a lot happening. I wonder what the hell is... I really, like, mostly...
Going into the finale, there's definitely a lot going on.
I can't believe it's up next.
Yeah.
I can't believe how close we are. Can't believe it's going to be the last season.
Yep. And is the last season up now on Amazon? I think it is, isn't it?
Oh, or
it's
about to be? Oh, you know, I didn't even look. Let me see. Amazon, tell me. And there's 10 episodes in the fifth season too, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Season 4. Yep, there it is.
Yay.
Available on Prime. Awesome.
Nice.
I really want the next episode to start with Helena and the Hendrixes. I want to know what's going on with that. That's mm-hmm. the main thing for me.
Okay.
And I feel like the show likes to be really coy with Helena because she's great. And they, like, seem to maybe not want me to get tired of her or something. Mm-hmm. Or they just want to save the best for last. And I really just need you to not do that for once, show. Just give me what I want off the top, please. Just do it. Ugh, that's all I want. I just want her to have her own spinoff show, frankly, where she's, like, raising twins in the fucking woods like a wolf. Just showing them how to shoot and make bows and arrows. And probably bite the heads off bats or something.
Sounds good.
You know. All right.
That's it.
Is there anything you want to add, ma'am?
No, I'm looking forward to the finale.
Yeah, me too. Man, my brain is just a whirl. At least I feel really good that this episode didn't suffer from the thing where we start talking about it and I'm like, wait a second. None of this makes sense.
Yeah, not like, really.
There were a couple little things like the detective that's also in on it and stuff, but right. That is small potatoes compared to some of the problems we've had.
Yeah, and just the general vagueness of the science, but that's just right. been an ongoing thing, so that's not just this episode being like, wait, yeah.
All right, well, I'm going to say hi to any patrons real quick. Okay. This week, well, these last 2 weeks, because we didn't record last week, are Emily Merrill, Michael Donaghy, Farah Joffrey, Kate of the North, Mel C, Jason Bruff, Andrea Harper, Andrew Morrison, Anjali Bucci, Ashlyn Wolf, Brittany Bringold, Miss Meck, Gallifrey Sparrow, and Kimberly Freeman all became patrons. So welcome to all of you delightful, wonderful people.
I like that there was a Spice Girl in there.
Was there?
Yeah, Mel C.
Oh, nice. I didn't even think of that.
It's the one who was, I think, dating Eddie Murphy, briefly.
Weird.
Wasn't that Scary Spice with Mel C?
Oh, girl, I don't know.
Come on. You gotta know this stuff.
I didn't know the Spice Girls.
All right, well.
There's
Mel B and Mel C. Melanie Chisholm and Melanie...
Bism?
I don't know.
Wow.
One of them was sporty and one of them was scary.
I don't know what just happened.
I got nothing. This is information that used to be in my brain, but it's been a long time and I'm getting old.
All right, so I think that's all. Make sure, guys, if you have become a patron, to join the patrons Facebook group, and there is a Discord also, which is a little bit easier to navigate. It's divided up into sections, whereas the group's just kind of like general conversation. The Discord is an easier place to talk about spoilers because stuff is divided up into spoiled and unspoiled sections for each show. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. And if you're not a patron, you should think about doing that, especially if you're somebody who's like, oh, my God, I really want to talk about such and such, but I can't spoil you. Well, you know where you can do that. Mm-hmm. On the Discord.
Discord.
Because there's a lot of people like I'm constantly surprised lately when I look at my numbers. I'm like, wow. There's a lot of people to chat with now. There's always somebody around. I post something, there's an immediate like. Somebody else posts something, by the time I like see the notification, because Facebook has fucked my notifications right up, mm-hmm. by the time I see it, I go and there's like 6 comments already, and I'm like, oh, things are happening. So, yeah, if you're somebody who's like listening to these shows, this one, other unspoiled shows, if you want to talk spoilers, becoming a patron will get you in on that, because there are a lot of people who are wanting to laugh at me and or other hosts. So, yeah, go to patreon.com/unspoiled if you want to do that. And otherwise, you can go to facebook.com/unspoiledpod, Twitter at Unspoiled Show, Instagram at Unspoiled Podcast. And I think that's it. Is there anything you'd like to add, mademoiselle?
Nope. I think we're good.
All right. Well, thank you, everybody, so much for listening. Make sure to leave a review on iTunes if you get the chance. I didn't check today to see if we have a new one. I think somebody told me that they did leave a new one. My apologies. I promise I will check next week. Thank you for doing that. Also, it's hugely appreciated.
Yeah.
And we will see you next week with a new episode. Toodaloo, motherfuckers.
Isn't it strange? Feels like I'm looking in. If only
is an Unspoiled Network podcast.